Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can always get the podcast at Google, Apple, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is. Remember, while you're there, to rate, subscribe, and share, so that way you and your friends never miss a minute of the show. Well, there's this absolutely insane story out of the Olympia School District. And of course, now the Olympia School District is becoming known for insane stories, and that's because of the reporting of the lovely and talented watchdog of Washington, the one and only host of the Undivided Podcast, Brandi Cruz. How you doing today?
Watchdog of Washington. I feel like you're more of a watchdog of Washington than I am, but thank you. I'll take it.
I always think that of you that way. I mean, your coverage, for example, of the legislature is where I go to get my resources from. So just so you know, that's why
my angry rants of the legislature. I'm glad they're of service to you.
So what'd you find out about the Olympia School District this time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because you've been covering a lot of issues there. It's the wokest school district in America. I'm glad to see this increased scrutiny toward it. And I think it's become, just generally speaking, a poster child for what happens when ideology and politics infiltrate our public schools and our classrooms. And this, to me, of all the stories, Ari, that we have talked about when it comes to the Olympia School District, this is the worst. I feel like this is truly the most egregious. So there's a fifth grade teacher at Centennial Elementary School in OSD. Her name is Jennifer Knight. And Jennifer Knight, you know, I think by all accounts, she is a caring person who cares about her students, who wants to make sure that they have fun in the classroom. But she is also clearly highly ideological. And there was an instance, we obtained thousands of emails from this particular teacher going back to the spring and summer of 2021. And she had a particular student in her classroom, again, a 10-year-old kid, biological girl, who decided that she now wanted to go at school by a different name and use the he, him, they, them pronouns. And so by the school district's own policies, of course, the teacher in the school respects that decision from a student. But this teacher, Jennifer Knight, took things much further than that.
Wow. So this teacher was communicating with this student without the parents' knowledge, any way, shape, or form. This kid is, let's see, fifth grade. That's 10 years old. And they're talking to this kid about sexual gender identity stuff from your reporting, telling them to come stay in their house if they need to. I mean, that's absolutely horrifying.
Yeah. So I'll just go through some of the worst emails that were part of this public records request, because, again, you know, I want to give this teacher the benefit of the doubt and just think that this is really misplaced caring concern for this child. But it also shows, I think, how policies around gender identity in our public schools, not just the Olympia School District, form these environments of secrecy where the policies are designed to keep parents in the dark. So per the policies, if a child is not telling their parents that they're transgender, if they're not going by a different name or different pronouns at home, the policies basically encourage the teachers to keep that secret for the kids. And so then you have this environment of secrecy that starts to form. So for this teacher, Jennifer Knight, when she found out that this 10-year-old, her fifth grade student, was going to use different pronouns and a different name at school, she sent a dozen other staff members an email letting them know of this change, saying the change was not to be questioned and that they would not be informing the child's parents or referencing the change on any sort of school documents where the parents might find out about it. And then the teacher took it a step further. In some of these emails, the teacher would say in these email communications with the student, delete this email after we're done so your mom doesn't see it. The teacher would say, you need to get a personal email account so we can continue to communicate. The teacher says, just so you know, I would welcome you into my home anytime. Never feel like you're alone. This is, in any other context, Ari, think about that. If this was a male teacher, if this had nothing to do with gender identity, in any other context, we would consider that predatory behavior. But in this case, this teacher, I would note, still has her job.
That's horrifying. So did you reach out to the school district and they said she's still employed or she's still listed there?
Yeah. So what was really weird is my producer, Nicole, had reached out to the school district a few days before we ended up doing this story with the obvious questions, the questions that you would have, the questions that your listeners would have. They didn't get back to us right away. And then they got back to us the morning we were getting ready to do our story. And that morning we went on the school district website. We went on the Centennial Elementary School District website. We weren't able to find any reference, anything related to a Jennifer Knight as a fifth grade teacher on the staff directory, on the pages on the elementary school website where it's there's a page for each teacher where they have resources, et cetera. She wasn't anywhere. And so we're like, what's going on? She must not be employed anymore by the district. Well, later that day after our story aired, she was back on the websites. She was backlisted. And so now we followed up with the Olympia School District to ask, what happened? And what I think happened, Ari, is they removed her to try to protect her, knowing a controversial story was about to drop. And then maybe a lawyer or somebody told them, hey, you can't do that. She's a public employee. You got to put her back on. Sure. Now, that's just speculation, but I can't think of any other reason for that. Now, what the school district has not or maybe will not tell us is whether an investigation into this even took place. I've asked them directly, was there even an investigation into this conduct? Because remember, these are just buried in emails, you know, thousands of emails that we got, but the school had to fulfill that public disclosure. They had to go in and black out the names of the students so that their identity could be protected. So presumably the school has known that somebody requested these documents, somebody had seen these emails. So our question out there is, has an investigation been done? And if so, was there any consequence for this teacher to correct her behavior?
We're talking with Brandi Crews, host of the Undivided podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube and everywhere else on the planet. But the question I have is, there may be another possibility here, which is they don't deserve benefit of the doubt. The school district does not after everything they've done. But perhaps they did do the right thing. They saw the story was coming and they said, let's hide her. Let's get rid of her. Maybe this is on the path to putting her on administrative leave or something. And then the teachers union got involved. And the teachers union or somebody else stepped up and said, you can't do that to our teacher. You haven't done an investigation yet or anything else. That's the only other thing I can think of that fits the facts.
I mean, it's possible, but I'll say also her personal LinkedIn, when we went to it on the morning of, there was no picture there. And then it seems like there's been pictures added back to things. So was it an effort to sort of say, hey, let's reduce scrutiny, take her, because when you look up a teacher on the district website, it has their email, you know, maybe she's going to be getting angry emails. So there was some sort of, though, intervention where it was put back on right after the story, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we're trying to get to the bottom of it. Hopefully the Olympia School District is going to be forthcoming with answers to some of these really obvious questions that parents in the district deserve to have answers to.
In the last few minutes we have with Brandi Crews, host of the Undivided podcast. So here's a thing that concerns me. This is all legal. This is all policy. It's all been put in as kind of legal as part of Washington State. So likely this is not the only teacher doing this, and parents just don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I question whether some of the emails were a violation of policy and went too far. But the underlying policy that says if a child wants to identify as a different gender with different pronouns and they don't want their parents to know, then we're going to keep that secret for them. That policy, what we're talking about right now is the natural result of a policy like that. Now, I tend to think that this teacher violated policy when she went to the step of inviting the kid to stay in their home, saying delete these email communications. Those are the questions I have for the Olympia School District about specifically, does the policy allow a teacher to go this far? But when your policy inherently encourages secrecy between teachers and students meant to keep parents in the dark, these types of relationships are the natural result of that policy. And so I think those policies, not only at a district level, but at a statewide level, need to be reevaluated.
Now, people don't understand this doesn't just stop at camp, these policies that Brandy's talking about. I had a story, I sent it over to you last night. I don't have a chance, know if you had a chance to read it yet, but it's about a camp in Olympia. They have nothing to do with the school district whatsoever, but they were citing the exact same policies, the exact same laws were at the sleepaway camp. They're also saying they're going to protect all this stuff from the parents, protect the kid from the parents. And that's when your kid is literally out of your house for 2 months. And you have no idea what's going on. And what the camp said on their website was that they are following the best practices of camps across the entire country. So this isn't something that's just limited to Olympia, Washington. This is something that is happening coast to coast.
Yeah. And if I could really quick, Ari, the most disturbing part of this story to me, and I think it also threads in with why are we hiding these sorts of things from parents? There is this email where the teacher acts like she cares a lot about the kid. And she sends the kid's mom an email saying, hey, I'm really concerned about your child's mental health, about their self-worth, their self-esteem. Can you come in for a conference and we'll talk about it? But at the very same time that that's happening, the teacher is hiding what I think is a critical aspect of the child's mental health from their parents, the fact that the child is actively going through gender dysphoria. So just a month after this teacher said, I'm really concerned about your kid's self-esteem and their well-being, can you come in and meet with me? A month later, that same teacher is sending the kid an email saying, hide these emails from your mom. You can come live with me in my house. Oh, if you really cared about the kid's mental health, don't you think you'd tell the parents, hey, your kid comes to school every day at 10 years old and pretends to be a different person with a different name and different gender pronouns? But no, they hid that critical aspect from the parents, and policy allowed them to do it.
It's no wonder the kids yanked their kid out of the school district and put them in a different district after that. But how many parents have no idea this whole thing's going on? Look at these parents. The teacher was actively lying, obfuscating the truth, whatever it was, from them while this is going on. It's absolutely insane. Brandy, thank you so much for bringing this very, very important and scary story to light. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
Always a pleasure. If people want to catch your show, what's the best way for them to do it, Brandy?
UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com.
That's Brandy Cruz, host of the Undivided Podcast. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.